Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Y'all come on in. We are going to be doing tonight the Discovery Worksheet Lab. Fun times on a Thursday night. I think this is really good timing, though, because it's right before weekend, which is when a lot of the Discovery Worksheets typically go down. So what I want to do is I want to spend some time kind of just reviewing it and talking about it, and then the way this call is going to work is once I'm done talking about it, you guys can either ask questions or you can raise your hand. You can get coached. Now, tonight's coaching, though, is all about overeating. And you have to have done some discovery. Oops, hang on. I don't know what I got working here. Can y'all hear me okay? Y'all aren't hearing some kind of replay or something in the background, are you? I'm just making sure I don't have videos playing. Sorry. It looked like, okay, how is it now? Now that I have. You can hear no sound. No sound's fine. Okay. I had a video accidentally. Much better. Yeah. All right. I had a video in the background that got started and I was like, and I had on mute. So that was why. All right. So here's the deal. You only get to get coached if you've been doing discovery worksheets. That's the point of tonight, is to teach you guys the value of what you're learning through this, to give your brain a reward that this is a good thing. This is not punishment. This is not anything. So one of the things that I want to explain when it comes to overeating, there's several things I want to explain to be honest, but I want to spend just a few minutes kind of talking to you about the generalized concept of overeating, you know, which phase of no BS to pay attention to and all the things. So number one, the reason why you haven't lost your weight yet is simply because you're overeating. That's it. If you're stalled, you're overeating. If you aren't losing weight, you're just overeating. It's boring and plain. It is not because of your childhood. It is not because your husband keeps chips in the house. It's not because you're broken. All of you right now have a collection of thoughts about overeating. And what I want to start all of this off with, because the Discovery Worksheet helps you do this, is that whatever you're thinking about overeating is going to either take you closer to solving the problem, stall you out, or take you backward. Now, if we're going backward, it is because our definition of overeating is it's bad, it shouldn't be happening, oh my God, fuck no, this is terrible. If only so-and-so wasn't such-and-such, I wouldn't have this problem. Anything, if you think about the term overeating, if it's ginning up fear, desperation, panic, anxiety, overwhelm, confusion, and all that bullshit, let me just tell you, your definition of overeating needs some work. So a lot of you are going through phase two right now of no BS. In phase two, we talk about the model. Overeating goes in two places. Let me just bring this over here, just so you guys can kind of see. All right. All my wires and my cords are hosing me. Hang on. I'm going to end up getting choked up here. I hope a boobie don't fall out of this top, by the way. Just saying. I think these boobs, like I bought this top when my boobs were a little bigger and there's a little bit more room in the end down there. I didn't know it's not where this top today. And so like, you know, doing this is not exactly great. Okay. So when we have CTFAR, right, first and foremost, do not panic if you are on this call or you are listening or watching this call and you're like, I don't know what that is. I've seen it in the planner. Oh my God, I must be behind. Something must be wrong in the weight loss world. Nothing's wrong. You haven't listened to phase two yet. Stop with the panic, the overwhelm, the scared, and the I'm behind bullshit. This is just a model. You're going to learn a little bit about it right now. And if it seems fucking intriguing, guess what? I'd probably, when you get off this call, go push play on phase two. And you'll get to learn all about it. I will be talking to you in more detail on Sunday's Massive Action Line video all about like, where's a good place to be right now in your mind when it comes to the No BS Weight Loss course? When's a good time to move forward? What should you listen to? What should you like think about? That kind of stuff. I give you some of those prompts. All right. So when it comes to overeating, there's two places that it could go in the model. And I want to explain this for everyone. First and foremost, if we are trying to figure out why we are overeating, we put it in the action line because this is something that we are doing. And remember, the action line is always something that we are doing, not doing, or reacting to. So like all kinds of actions can be here. So if you're overeating right now and you want to know why you're overeating, you start with, okay, so I know I've been overeating and I really want to figure out why. So I'm going to put it in the action line. Now I'm going to ask myself, what typically happens prior to an overeat? Are there any feelings that I usually have? For some of you, it's not necessarily a feeling. For some of you, you'll notice a circumstance like standing in the pantry. Like I watched my discovery worksheet and noticed that on the days that I allow myself to hang out in the pantry as if it's the club and here I am getting ready to throw down a party, I notice that I start thinking things like a little won't hurt. I've had a long day and I deserve it. And then we start feeling entitled, giddy, anticipatory, things like that. And that is why I'm overeating. So it tells you really quick, oh, so a possible solution is to work on my thoughts, or a possible solution is for me, before I even go home, to recognize standing in the pantry is probably not the best place to hang out when I first get home. So the easiest way for me to lose weight this week might be to have a plan for what I will do when I get home and see if that pattern interrupt works first. All right. So when you put it on the action line, it gives you a lot of information. Now, your discovery worksheet does that for you also. It'll ask you just about the facts. It'll ask you to find the patterns. Where were you? What time was it? What was going on around you when you ate? Is this a pattern? Are you like all the time doing discovery worksheets? Like, man, girl, I do like 3 a day. And for the last 21 days, all like 21 times 3 is what? 63? 63 worksheets tell me that when I stand in the pantry at 4 o'clock, I overeat. That's a pattern. So I'm going to put all my energy and effort for the next, I don't know, 2 weeks, making sure I don't go to the pantry so I can see if that's a possible solution to this. On the other side, things to try next time, the let's get real, all that kind of stuff. All right. Now, the discovery worksheet is about you learning how to break patterns and about you learning how to notice patterns and getting very familiar with what's going on around your overeating. Now, for those of you who are in stall land when it comes to your weight loss, it's probably because you're doing your models or your discovery worksheets, you're continuing to overeat, you're noticing patterns, but you're not really doing anything different. It's like, well, I'm doing models and I'm thinking differently, but you're not actually challenging yourself to truly do new out-of-the-box things, or you're not getting really laser focused on one particular habit that you're going to put all your energy and effort into changing, and the rest of it, you're going to let it run on autopilot. Even if you're overeating in other areas, you're going to solve the one. That's what I normally see with stalls. The people who are successful, they have this going on. Not only do they have overeating in the action line, but they're very clear on their patterns. They're very clear that they could get started on one thing and solve it, and that's great work for them. They have no judgment over it. They have no, like, this isn't going to be good enough. They shut all that shit down. They're so determined to lose their weight that they know anything that they're doing is always a step forward. They just hang on to the belief that if they keep applying new tactics, keep trying on new thoughts, keep tracking everything, they never, ever miss these. They are just like, nope, we're going to do them every single time. That's my successful people. Now, we have our people who are diddling around in their past. Like, I got all the shit thoughts, Corinne. It's a bunch of bullshit. That's because when you are thinking about overeating, you're not processing the overeat. The person who's doing it on the action line, they're processing what happened, watching what happened, not holding judgment over what happened. They're holding space, compassion, and determination to figure it out. This is where we get hosed. And this is what most of you are going to need to work on first if you notice you're gaining no traction with overeating. It goes in the C line. It's already happened. You can't even break it down yet because in your mind, this is so terrible. This is such a stain on my humanity. And this is the foreboding for my future that it is riddled with bullshit in the thought line. And when there's only little steamy turds living on the thought line, we feel like shit. Shitty thoughts lead to shitty feelings. And when you feel like shit about overeating, guess what happens? Wah, wah. We don't want to face reality. We don't want to look for things. We start making excuses. We bash ourselves. We start like looking around and noticing everybody else is doing something better than me. Oh my God. We're doing everything possible to not work on overeating. So your working definition of your overeating has to change. Now, for a lot of you, just even the word overeating is intense. It's like, gah, there's just no way I can make a leap, Corinne, to thinking overeating is my pathway to success. What? All right, if that's the case, then guess what you do? You stop calling it overeating and you start getting very specific about what you ate. So you don't do models on overeating in general. Because for you, this is like a thought. This is basically overeating that's moved down to the thought line. And it's like parentheses, this is a terrible thing. This, if I do this, I'll never lose weight. That is not it. Just everybody who loses weight overeats. They just figure out stuff to try. And a normal person at a normal weight and a normal eater overeats at times. They just don't lose their shit over it. They move on. They eat a salad next time. They just pick right back up. They don't make it an epic deal. The more you guys gin yourself up with thinking epic shitty thoughts, the further and further you get away from weight loss. More than likely, you're going to end up eating more because you start giving up on yourself. And it's like, well, if I'm going to be overeating, I might as well just enjoy it. So then you go into fuck it land for a whole weekend. But it's not really what you want. What you're really wanting is relief from feeling like you're broken. And so what I'm inviting you to do is rather than eating to not feel broken because of your thoughts, let's redefine overeating. Let's normalize it. The best way to normalize it, I am telling you right now, is to use the discovery worksheet. It is just part of the process. That's it. That's all overeating is. That's it. All right. Let me look and see what questions you guys have real quick. Where did you get your top? Y'all crack me up. I'm like, here I am preaching. I'm already sweating all the things. It's like, hey, yeah, where'd you get that top? Can you just tell me about the lip gloss, please? This top came from the boss. No, this top is White House Black Market. It's actually, I believe it's on sale and they have it in satin or silk right now in multiple colors. But I think it's on sale right now in closeout. From October through December, I did great with the free program. I'm down 27 pounds now that I joined. Nothing really. Overwhelmed and probably in my own way. Yeah, because I can tell, like, here's what we know. Joining PNP doesn't result in not losing weight. How do we know this? People lose weight in PNP. Joining PNP also doesn't result in losing weight. How do we know this? Some people don't lose weight in PNP. You know what joining PNP does? Invite you to work. So, Laura, all I would do is look at what is the difference between me in October through December and me in January. If you, like, I'm overwhelmed, push play on one video. Tell me, Laura, about your overwhelm. Like, what is it that, like, tell me what's the difference between you those 3 months, like, and what you were thinking. Don't give me all your damn actions you were doing different. You were thinking probably this is easy. This is simple. Okay. Anybody can have that thought about the website. You can go and be like, oh, there's the orientation. That's simple. Click. And you listen and you just do one thing at a time. To me, that's simple. But if you're thinking, oh my God, now I've joined PNP, I'm going to have to start feeling all my emotions. All my bullshit's going to get drummed up. This is going to be a lot harder because now I'm with the big girls in the big girl club. And, you know, everybody around here, they seem to be like big time goal getters and blah, blah. If you're doing all of that and thinking you have to do every single thing we do, and you're sitting there thinking that you have to listen to everything that comes out of my mouth and every single podcast, yeah, I would fucking give up. I'd just close it down right now. If that's how you're going to choose to think about it, it would be like going, like, I have over 200 or 300 podcasts right now. It would be like you pulling up the free podcast and going, oh, fuck, this girl has 300 podcasts. How the hell am I ever going to get through this? I should just not listen. Most of you don't do that. Why is that? Because you're sitting there thinking, well, this is simple. I should just push play and see what she has to say. We could do that here too. So it's always what the point is, guys. If you're feeling, we'll go back to our trusty model. This is a good question, Laura. I'm glad you asked it. If you're feeling overwhelmed, this is a good lesson for your entire life, everyone. I'm not even going to put PNP in the C line. I'm going to put life up here. If you're feeling overwhelmed, you no longer, because now you joined, this may ruin the rest of your life. This, the people in it, the things they've said, the things that they will currently say, the things they will say in the future, everything that's happened to you in your past, every failed diet, every girlfriend of yours who's doing keto right now and losing more weight, whatever it is not to blame for feeling overwhelmed. Your house having clothes all over the floor is not why you're overwhelmed. It is always going to be because you have a sentence in your brain that is describing and interpreting and creating a story about it. That is how the brain works. Can't turn our brains off. You try all the time with food and look, it's not working. You still feel overwhelmed. That's why we know food doesn't comfort us. You know why? Because you have another bad day. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, the key is always, what am I thinking? Like when I think about the website, when I think about my weight loss, when I think about my overeating, when I think about those things, what do I make it mean? No, I don't even have it in here with me. What do I, we're getting ready to do a podcast on this. What do I make it mean about me? Usually this is what happens when I'm feeling overwhelmed. It's like when it comes to like PNP, what am I making PNP mean? Joining PNP mean about my ability to lose weight? Like, ooh, it's serious now. It's a big girls club. Gotta knuckle down. No more doing the easy stuff. Like, we just start understanding our brains better here. That's what we're doing here. Nothing has changed. You just got more videos, more access to things that you can listen to and draw upon for strength. You have places to actually ask your questions rather than just sitting around not asking. So when we feel overwhelmed, guys, always ask yourself, what am I making something mean about me? What am I thinking them or it means about my life? What overwhelms me about this? And then take responsibility that how you're feeling is a result of something you're thinking. And when you do that, you've unlocked like what we call the secret to the universe. The moment you stop waiting for people and things in the world to change, and you start believing that you can do it no matter what, the moment that you understand some of the thoughts that you have that just don't help you anymore, I want to get rid of those. They're just not useful. I didn't even know I was thinking such useless things. The moment all that happens, life gets a little easier. Stress starts coming down. Overwhelm starts to evaporate. And you just start moving through life. And you take down the need for the overeating. You don't need your escape button anymore from your own life. How do you process overeats when they turn into binges for a couple of days? You just start processing the second you can. I would process, like, I don't care if you keep binging, just every single one of them, process them in lifetime. Again, this goes back to Stacy. I would put here, probably the problem isn't that you've got binge on the action line. You haven't even moved it down here yet. You've got to get a better relationship with the word binging. Find your thoughts about it. Like, I can't stop. Like, the discovery worksheet is about breaking it down into what actually happened. It is to put some normalcy into the process. It is to, like, let you see, like, here is exactly what was happening. When I binged for 48 hours, you can get even more specific. And the reason why I'm going to tell you this is because it takes the temperature down. Rather than putting binge up here, because a lot of you, the word binge has so much attached to it, like it's a problem, it's never going away, it means I'm broken, like it feels so true. What I would do is I'd put in the circumstance line, what you've actually ate, how much, you don't have to weigh and measure it, but how much and what times. Because a lot of you will say, I binged for 3 days, and in your brain, all you're picturing is you on a couch literally never stopping to eat for 72 straight hours. When there were times over 3 days, you weren't eating at all. So even just like breaking it down where it like 1 o'clock I ate this, 3 o'clock I ate this, you know, I actually didn't eat dinner, but I did eat again at 9 o'clock. This is what I ate, like getting very specific with it. A lot of times allows you to start really processing. Okay, so what do I want to think about all of this now? That's usually super helpful. Can we use the sheet for off-plan overeats, like the old version? Yeah. Yeah, it only mentions overeating, guys, but always feel free to just add extra words if you need to. It's fine. We all use them for off-plan overeats too. Overeating and off-plan eating is just basically the same, and here's why. I want to collect all the data of when I'm just not doing what I said I would do. I want to collect all the data when I am eating before I'm hungry or eating past being satisfied. I want to collect all the data when I decide not to eat on plan so that when I'm making future plans, I have my data to make smarter, better, well-informed plans. And I want to understand patterns that may be developing, especially for you guys who are like, you know, you've already lost like 50 pounds, or maybe you've lost 25 pounds and stuff. Sometimes you get a little sloppy on doing this part of the work, and then you lose the identity of the patterns. that can be formed, but that just kind of come in. Because if you're not watching it, patterns just start forming, whether you're watching them or not. I'm just a big believer in watching patterns because patterns aren't what hurt me. What hurts is when my lack of attention to the patterns, my judgment of the patterns. Sometimes I feel like I don't have a model. Should we have one every day? No, you don't have to have one every day. I do. Everybody has a model at all times, though. You have 60,000 of them a day, because that's about the average number of thoughts we have. You may just not have one that you're invested in doing for the day, but I will tell you, there's a lot of days. Like the other day, I was writing something. I don't even remember what I was writing about, but I was talking about my day and about things I needed to do for the day, whatnot. Because a lot of times, my TDL will just be, it will just literally start with a rundown of what I need to do for the day. And sometimes a thought will pop up in there. Like, you know, I really dread doing this, or, you know, this won't be fun. This will be hard to get done. Like stuff like that. Those are like the little niggly ones that typically wear us out emotionally all day. Like if I want you guys to think about it. If a lot of your day on the background, you're thinking that what you have to do is not fun, it's going to be kind of a slog. Like, you don't have to have like epic, like, oh my God, my life's over thoughts. It can be just like little things. Like, it's going to be a long day. All day long on rotation, you're just thinking about how long the day is. You wonder why at the end of the day, you're emotionally worn out and tired and feeling like you need to eat, feeling like you need to take a break. Like, do we have to describe the day? I do that very often. I'm almost like catching myself on a pattern loop of wanting to describe my days as long. They're long. I start early. And when I think about it, it's like, it's just not a good way, not a useful way for me to talk about my experience of time. So one of the things I was doing is I was writing, and I found this amazing thought that came out in my writing. And it was said, you know, you really have a beautiful life. I rarely write stuff like that. And it just came out like, as I was just describing the things that I was going to work on that day, I was going to be studying for the 6-day girls. I had a team meeting that day. I couldn't wait to talk to him. I hadn't talked to him in a while. Like, there was just like all these things. And there was just like this process of just writing about my day where I self-described, you have a beautiful life. And I was like, oh my God, I'm starting with the intentional model. So I started with my intentional model. And I thought, like, all right, if I was like, what are ways that I think about my life at times that might not be as useful? And so then I did an unintentional model. It doesn't mean that that one was running. It doesn't mean that it was a problem that day. But what I did is I allowed myself to see I have very beautiful thoughts at times. And then I allowed myself to see, and sometimes not so much. Here's one that I've noticed I've said in the past, or I could just as easily describe to a girlfriend if we were just having coffee. She would ask me about my life and I would say, it's fine. Do you see the difference? Why I want you guys really paying attention to how you think about all of it? Because most of you think that you're going to need to dig up the old bones of the past and figure out and dig around in the old wounds and scars of hurt and stuff. No. You know what we really need to do? Clean up crap we think right now. Like, if somebody asks you about your life, and the best you can say, like, how was your day? It was fine. Rather than, it was a beautiful day. It was amazing. Like, my kids hugged me before they went to school today. Do you know what? Like, my daughter still texts me. I just love that. I mean, like, think about the things that there's so much, you know, overeating. I'm glad we're having this call, and I'm fixing to call on Laura. One of the things that I think is missing on all of us is we have so much opportunity to have pleasure in life. And we absorb ourselves with the pleasure just being around the food. And for a lot of you, you know, like, I teach you realistic planning for a reason. I want you to enjoy your food and stuff. But the reason why I have phase 2 of No BS, the Thinking Thin module, is so that you can start giving yourself pleasure and enjoyment in your life that you have now, that no one's even challenged you ever to do. You are surrounded in this world by people who are just getting through the day. Just getting through the day. You know, that commute of mine's long. It's a long commute. Just saying. But you don't even like stop to think, do I want to describe it as a long commute or do I want to describe it as the time I listen and self-study? That's my decompression time before I go home. Like rather than describing it as like sucky ass traffic, because here's the thing, you can keep doing that, but it sucks. And then by the time you get home, guess what? You want relief from your thoughts about traffic. Rather than sitting there and thinking while you're in traffic, reflecting on your life, thinking that you have the opportunity to study. This is connection time with my kids, whatever you want to call it, but you get to describe it in such a pleasurable way if you choose to. But most of us want to stay stuck in doing all of this in such an unpleasurable way. It's like, oh no, you don't know my commute, Corinne. It's like, okay, argue for your pain. If you want to keep eating in the pantry at 4 o'clock because you're stuck in traffic, keep thinking that way. It's working well for you. So getting you towards your goals. Or do you want to start thinking like someone who's like, you know what? I don't want to eat over traffic anymore. That kind of sucks. And rather than coming up with 1,000 things to do when I get home, like clean a toilet instead of stand in the pantry, what if I start thinking more luxuriously about myself, about my life, working on myself, my self-thoughts, so many things that we could be doing. I'm going to tell you, the easiest way to end overeating is to start fucking thinking better. Find the places where your like thinking is not luxurious. Where you're thinking like, where you want, you don't have to argue with me for your pain. Like save your pain for another day. Let's just look at like all the little things that we could be thinking about right now that could be completely leveled up without one thing in our life changing, one person needing to change, or anything else. We just are going to decide to like it a little better for our own sake. That's how you solve overeating. If you go through your evening every night and all you think is your kids are a bunch of jackasses and you just hope you can make it one more night and it fucking sucks to wash dishes and all that other stuff. Yeah, guess what, mama? At 8:30, you're going to want all the wine and wash it down with the Oreos. And you're missing moments. And if you can't describe that 3 hours luxuriously, quit describing it like you don't even want it, period. So many of you, if I said, all right, we're going to take your kids away, won't we just go kill them in the streets? You obviously don't like them. Why we need them? Let me give them to somebody who actually wants kids. Like sometimes we don't even think about that stuff. And I'm not saying you got to love every minute with your children, but most of you aren't even attempting to love some of the minutes with your children. You're on autopilot on dreading your life for 3 hours. That's the point. Stop being on autopilot with dread. It's fine. Just making through. Just got to get through it. If your life's a battle, it's because you're going to war every day in your head. All right, Laura, let's coach you. Sounded funny. It sounded like something a 2-year-old would say. Let's coach you. While we're trying to get Laura up. Laura, is it working? Maybe there's just a drag. Hang on. Well, I'll say this. So when my niece was a little kid, she, and probably a lot of kids have done this, but I remember when she was little, she used to come up to us and she'd raise her hands and she'd go, hold you. All right. I don't think Laura's coming on. Let me try Amanda. She just raised her hand. We may end up getting two of you on at the same time. Sometimes that happens, or she didn't mean to have her hand raised. Hello, Amanda.
Boy. So this is divine intervention from Corinne Crabtree right here.
All right. The good Lord moveth me tonight.
And I'm sorry, I just jumped on. And so I'm assuming are you doing the planning sheet still?
We're doing the discovery. It started with a discovery worksheet. I just kind of wanted to teach some, but yeah. So what do you got? Laura, I'll call on you next, okay? Just raise your hand one more time. For some reason, there was a major drag.
Yeah, I'm here. I know, but I got okay.
I got somebody else on now. So just raise your hand again and I'll pull you back up.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Amanda. So what are we coaching?
So I was listening to your, I think it was the 21st day 60.
Okay.
And you were like, an off eat is just an off plan eat. And I'm trying to really accept that in the core of myself because I think it's a game changer.
Yeah.
And food is just food. It's just like your car. And yeah. like literally today, like this is just so really, really brand new for me. And also what you just said about if you're going into life as a battle, it's a battle. So I guess what I'm struggling with, and I'm also doing, I signed up for one-on-one with, are you still there?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Betsy, and that just started, and she's already hit on some really key things, but I guess my struggle is how do I take what you're saying and believe it? You know,
That's an amazing question.
Okay.
This is like the number one question we get. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I have the answer. You say it over and over and over again until you believe it. This is the frustrating part because you know why you want to believe it right now?
I want my life to be a little less dramatic about food. Mm-hmm. That's one reason.
Most of us want to believe it right now because it would be easier.
Yes. Yeah.
We would feel better. Like we could just start feeling better right now. Like, so tell me how to turn on the magic switch where my brain doesn't think this other bullshit anymore.
Right.
That's not how it happens.
Right. I lost 45 pounds with you. And I'm at a point where now I'm losing the mental weight. And so I'm trying to reframe that in my head that I'm still in weight loss. It's just not the number on the scale. And so the last probably 6 weeks, I've been doing this circular pattern until I heard what you said today. And I'm like, my God, that could be a game changer for me.
Yeah.
So what
is it that you want to believe that you're not believing right now?
So I'm using food as a comfort. So I'm trying to get curious about what other things would comfort me. And then Betsy's like, well, why do you need comfort? Do you not feel safe? You know, we're stressed, whatever. And I just think that's kind of the core of everything in my life. I've probably not felt safe, you know? So I've turned to food, and my accountability group said food is not meant to be a comfort. It should be nutritious. And I'm
food gets to be anything. It's just that most of us, like, sometimes food is comforting. That's why your brain's not believing it. So it's like what we want to do is understand that, yes, there are times that food feels comforting, but I only want it to comfort me at the right times. Like not when I'm avoiding my emotions, not when I'm trying to solve a problem with a ding dong. Like if you're not feeling safe, we want to know why. Like why right now do I need comfort? Comfort from what? What am I thinking that's making me scared or fearful or whatever that is? Understanding that thought line right there allows you to question, is it even real?
Yeah.
Is there like a legit reason to be scared right now?
Yeah.
Or am I just scared of someone's opinion? And like when you start working on all of that, like when you really start questioning all of it, guess what you're not doing?
I'm not eating.
Eating. And creating evidence that you feel better when you eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I thought I was going to start believing different things. Right. I was going to start documenting, like, when I do it, how do I physically feel? Like, what's going on in my body? What's going on in my brain? So I can figure out what sensations I'm actually getting. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this has been, you know, I'm 50 years old. I've probably been this way my whole life. So it's really ingrained in me, and I've really been working on changing that. Like, it doesn't matter how long I've done it,
right?
I can choose something different in the moment.
Yeah, I would tell all of you, it does not matter how long you've thought something, how long you felt something, or how long you've done something. Here's how your brain works. Every action, every thought, every feeling is fresh. Like it's not ingrained. Like that's right. A thought, like that is a thought. Like a lot of us will say that. It's like, no, let me show you my 50 years of evidence. This is totally ingrained. It's like, mm-hmm. I will never help you. It's remembering like your first thought switch is it's not ingrained. This is a fresh thought to look at, a fresh thought to consider if I want to keep. Those are the next level thoughts about it. Before you can believe like, oh my God, I never have to eat for comfort again because it's all just nutrition. Like that's where we want to believe one day. But right now, the best thought for you to get to believing new things is always going to be this thought's fresh. This thought's in my control to look at, examine, question, to understand that it's something happening now. That's it. And if I want to keep it, I can. I think that's the other thing too, is that a lot of us think we have to get rid, like this thought's bad. It's ingrained.
Yeah.
Bad thought. None of them are bad. None of them are even good. They're either useful or they're not useful.
Useful
and
not
like
useful.
Looking at it and thinking, okay, this is not a useful thought, but I may want to just keep it for now. Like I want to keep the thought that this is ingrained, but I know it's not helping me. What happens is your brain starts disconnecting from this being the way it is to something you're choosing. And then when it starts believing that this is something you're choosing to think, and it starts seeing that it's not working for you, it will know that it has an option to choose something different. And then it will want to try on new thoughts until it starts locking in on ones that feel more believable. That's more how it works. You can have the nutrition thought all you want, and you can practice it until you believe it. But while also really concentrating more on examining, all right, if I want comfort before I eat, I want to know why. That's going to be my step one.
Okay.
That's hard for a lot of us because what do we want to like solve this problem today. And sometimes we have to keep overeating a little bit to solve it.
I've never been here. I've done like all the diets like everybody else, but I've never been to this point. I've never been to this realization of how I'm using food. What am I using food for? So I'm trying to be kinder to myself, like you said, and be like, this is weight loss. Yeah. I am in the middle of weight loss. It doesn't matter the scale. Like I'm actively figuring shit out.
Yeah.
And so I need to be patient with myself. Whether it takes 6 more weeks or 6 more months or whatever, that this is, you know, where I'm at. Like, I think, you know, I think the 40 pounds came off a lot easier than this mental crap.
Yeah.
For
mental
sure.
Mental work's the hardest work. Here's how we know that losing weight's easy. Just say in the comments, if you've ever lost a bunch of weight, I mean, losing the weight, the physical weight is the easy part. We always think it's so hard. It's like, oh my God. Every one of us at one time has had our shit tolerance hit, lost a shit ton of weight, and then put that mess back on because we didn't lose our mental weight. And that's always been our problem. That we think weight loss is hard. It's like, no. Like, if you eat when you're hungry, you stop when you're satisfied, boom, we're done. Grab a glass of water, go on your merry way. The problem is not that part. The problem is when we start unwinding all these other things, it takes a little time, but it takes so much cognitive effort. So many people shy away from it. And that's
right.
That's the hard part. It's like, oh, you know, like, well, how do you believe something new? It's like you start just slowly chunking it down and unwinding it and stuff. But I will promise you, Amanda, like the biggest one that you can change right now is just understanding these are just sentences. Every one of them. My job is to find as many as I can and question the shit out of all of them. Because sentences can't hurt you until they're activated.
Okay. And I'm doing a discovery worksheet on every off plan.
I would.
Just to try to figure out the data. Yeah. The times and why this feeling.
That you said it perfectly, just to figure out the data. That's the best part of the discovery worksheet. It gives you so much data to collect. It gives you something to look at, and it takes the emotion out of it.
Right.
And go back though, when we get the recording up, go back and listen to the first one, because I talk a lot about where overeating goes in the model and stuff. I kind of
break
this down a little bit more because some of the ones you asked, for sure, the first part will be helpful too. Like it'll
be great.
I'm really glad we talked about it, but I think it'll kind of like even bookend what we just talked about even more. And enjoy.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
She'll be able to dive into all. She's like, she'll find the thoughts that you're not finding.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, Amanda, or is it Laura? No, wait, this was Amanda. Okay, Laura, I'm going to call on you again. Let's see if we can get your internet to come up. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, yeah. I'm good. I'm good at weight loss. Problem is I can't lose my mind along with it. Let me answer a couple of questions. Where do we find the discovery worksheets? You can get them in two different places. They're both the same. If you go to pnptribe.com, and you actually go through your No BS modules, the worksheet is in there. So like when you first go to the No BS weight loss course, you can print all of the worksheets that are in the No BS. It's located in there. If you just want to print one like I did today, you just go to pnptribe.com. You can go to worksheets and bonuses, scroll to the bottom, and then there'll be buttons with all the different kinds of worksheets we offer, and the discovery worksheet will be there. But there is a lesson on the discovery worksheet inside of No BS. Hey, can somebody tell me, it's phase one, module four, unit two. That's the unit where the discovery worksheet is. And that's the unit to listen to that talks about where I teach it. Okay. All right, Miss Laura, let's do it.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a January baby. And that was my call. That was my question earlier that you answered.
Okay. Awesome.
I didn't think I was going to be able to get called upon. So I tried sending a question, but yeah, I just feel like now that I'm here. Yeah, I know exactly. But now that I'm here, like I'm trying to do like the models and I probably don't entirely get it. I come up with like an answer for two or three of the five and like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm completely lost.
Well, tell me what you don't get.
I just won't have
when you
like
I can't three come up five. Which are the ones that are harder for you to fill in? And then I
feel like it's just random depending on what the issue is, you know, that I'm doing at the moment. But part of me, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't come up with really any feelings. I don't think that I am hard on myself. I bet I am, but like I don't know. Do you just suppress your feelings for so long that you can't find them? I mean, I don't know.
That does happen. So a lot of people, it's not that you don't feel them; it's that you
right. Oh yeah,
you don't have a working vocabulary with them. So feelings
that
are always, whether you're suppressing or not. Feelings are always
right.
So like you probably feel something.
Right.
Right now. What do you feel right now? Like just kind of like drop into your
body. Kind of sad.
Okay, so sad. So you do know. Like how to feel. So right now you're feeling sad. So why are you feeling sad?
Right. Just because I'm feeling like I did so well when I wasn't part of it. And now I'm like paying the money. I feel like probably the stakes are higher. I don't know. And I just feel like
the stakes are higher.
Probably.
That's a thought.
And that's a thought I should have on a model. Is that what you're saying?
That's a very ineffective thought. Do you know how we know?
Because it's not getting good results.
Because your action line is cry.
True. Okay.
So here's how the model works. The model is like the top line is always going to be your facts. So join January mm-hmm. baby. We'll give you that as your fact. So just to make it simple, right? Do you want me to write it out? Will it be helpful if I write it?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. It'd be great.
Thank you. The crowd goes wild every time the whiteboard comes out. Like if I ever want everybody to be like, oh my God, they're just like, pull out the whiteboard. There you go. Who knew that that would be so thrilling to, you know, middle-aged.
Yeah.
All right. So, ooh, shit. All right. January baby. And I'm going to put like just joined PNP. And so your thought about being a January baby and your personal thought that I pulled out is the stakes are higher.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the thoughts. There's many.
Oh, well, yeah. So let me just tell you, the easiest way to do the model is just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. All roads lead to Rome, or all roads lead to Rome.
Okay.
So it, you could pick, you know, her website sucks.
Well, it doesn't.
Well, I'm just saying, like, whatever your thoughts are, like, I'm just, there's somebody right now thinking that website sucks. I don't know what she talks about. So I just want you to know you could have a lot of thoughts about it, but we're just going to grab one because one's enough. You don't need to solve all of them. The nice thing about the model is you just pick one and you work on it and you look at it and you examine it. And sometimes solving this one knocks out like 10 other ones. Sometimes you have to knock all of them out, but very often, like if the stakes are high, how does that feel?
Scary.
Scary. Which is kind of like in your question, you were talking about being confused and overwhelmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to put scary here.
Okay.
Those are other models. So when you do a model, if you know of a feeling, what's so funny is you're like, I just don't ever feel anything. And so far, I've gotten four out of you in one call. Scared, overwhelmed, sad, and confused.
Well, apparently it must be because I'm talking to you.
And also, obviously, joy at some point because you look kind of happy in the moment.
Well, yeah. I'm laughing. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just,
it's not because you're talking to me. Let me tell you why.
No.
Okay. It's because if the stakes are high, you'll be confused about how you're feeling. Because when we think the stakes are high, we naturally, when we're scared, guess what happens on our action line? We start
probably eat.
We can eat. We probably start thinking up problems.
Yeah, I guess I could be doing that, definitely.
Well, let's just do what you're actually doing. So you eat when you're scared.
Yeah, that would be
what
true.
Else?
What else do I do when I'm scared?
Yeah. Think about being in the sea and the stakes are high right now.
Yeah, I think when I'm scared, I can be pretty crabby.
Okay, so we get crabby. So do you like say...
Frustrated.
Okay, so you're so good at your feeling line.
Well, I guess I am.
Crabby and frustrated are two more feelings. Like you... I take my words back. Your vocabulary is just fine on your feeling line.
Okay, thank you.
Give yourself some credit for knowing.
Well, I do give myself some credit on some things. I feel like, but I just am like, you know, I'll watch all the no BS and then, you know, something will happen and I'll try to do a model. And I just, then I got like halfway through the first module and I didn't know that we were supposed to be doing worksheets along with it. I had printed all the worksheets. I just didn't realize that we were supposed to be doing them as we go. So then I get all overwhelmed thinking, well, I got to get them all done and get caught up before
because
I can move
forward. Because the stakes are high. So when we, like, when I want to show you how that happens. The stakes are high. I what would you call it? I don't want to say blow up mistakes, but what is it when you make a mistake and it's overblown? Like you...
Well, I do not like to be wrong and I do not like to make mistakes. Accuracy is extremely important to me. So if I feel like I'm making mistakes or not doing it right, yeah, that's just very
what
stressing.
Happened? So you stress out over little things.
Yeah, probably for sure.
That probably leads to that crabby shit.
Yeah, I just don't want to be around anybody. I just want to like hide and just be by myself.
So
I know I'll probably snap.
So I isolate.
Yeah.
Or I snap. These are all things coming from just deciding to think when you're in PNP, the stakes are high now. Are the stakes high?
Well, my husband was a pretty big asshole about me joining, so I feel like
yeah, but that's
yeah. If I but
more,
well, but if I don't succeed, Well, it kind of does to me. It's sort of like, well.
Well, I mean, you can argue to feel stressed and scary if you want to. I'll let you keep it.
Okay. Gotcha. You just said that to somebody else. You can argue to keep those feelings if you want, but they aren't going to help you. You did just say that.
Yeah. So let's think about this. If we're eating and we're sitting out over little things, we're isolating, we're probably snapping at this husband who didn't want you to even join PNP to begin with. The result is you increase the stakes. You make it harder for yourself. Like this action line is making everything that you fear, like the stakes are high. Like my husband didn't want me to join Corinne. And if I fail, he's probably going to be right. All these other things. Guess what happens? You create the very reality you don't want by thinking the stakes are high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess I shouldn't say he didn't want me to join. He just really didn't want to pay for it, which that, of course, is a whole nother model.
Yeah, but that's okay. I wouldn't want to pay for your PNP either. Just saying.
Well, considering our money is not separate, yeah, that's a bit of a problem. You know, we're not like a couple that has our money separate, so it's a little bit harder when he says he doesn't want to pay. But I'm here. I figured it out.
Though, but let me just tell you, it's only harder because you think it's harder. He could say.
No, I hear you say. I hear you say that all the time. I should get it by now.
He can say, "I don't want to pay for your PNP with my money." And you could think, that's fine. I'm joining anyway. Or you could think, well, that's a whole nother thing. That's a way harder. He should think way different things. Guess what? He's not going to think different things, and you wishing he does doesn't help. You know what it does? Fucking scares you, frustrates you, drives you to eating. That's you doing that. That's not him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just imagine for a minute that we're going to take our husband, or we're going to take, let's just stay with this one. We're going to take joining PNP. And you just decided, you know what, the stakes aren't high. What if you just decided, this is time to get going.
I'm going to get my shit together.
Maybe. Do you like the thought? Like, we need to find one that you actually like, that feels good.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of getting my shit together.
Okay, so let's put getting your shit together on the action line.
Okay.
We're going to take this out. And down here, what does getting your shit together look like?
Well, changing my relationship with food. As you would say, get rid of the mental weight. I mean, the physical weight too, but if I don't get rid of the mental weight, the physical weight will come back.
But let me ask you this. Tomorrow, what does it look like?
Getting my shit together tomorrow. Okay. Well, I feel like I have actually gotten pretty good at when I'm truly like upset or hurt, I've gotten pretty good at sitting through that and not eating. Okay. I'm having much more problems with probably just like the grab assing or just being at a restaurant, totally changing what I had planned to eat. I feel like I'm having more problems with a lot of mindless stuff when I'm like really upset or really hurt. I'm certainly not 100%, but I've gotten a lot better at sitting through that. Okay. So I guess getting my shit together tomorrow might be, well, sticking with my plan for once.
Okay. So have you not stuck to it at all?
A couple days.
So I want you to,
but not by your definition, because your definition is you also ate on the hunger scale. So if that were the case, then probably both of those in one day.
Okay, whose definition matters more, mine or yours?
Well, I mean, yours matters more, but I am learning from you and how you are saying that you kind of do things. So.
Yeah. Do I say you have to start with all of them at once in order to get a perfect star? Or is that perfectionism starting?
Oh, that's all over the place. That started a long time ago.
Or are we back to the stakes are high? Because, when the stakes are high, you got to do exactly the way Corinne says it or it's all wrong.
Probably. I think I live there.
So let me say it one more time.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out lots of things of way to phrase things differently. So you can kind of see how on,
okay.
I want you to watch this again, how on autopilot you describe this very much from the place of the stakes are high because you have this belief that this is so enormous. I'm trying to get you to just believe all we've done is join PNP and we're going to lose some weight. Like we can just dead stop right there. We just don't need all this extra emotional baggage that you want to bring along because it's going to make it harder for you. So the more we can take down the temperature of how you describe, like self-describe stuff, and we just start describing it in a different way, you'll find it's easier to let go of some of the mental weight so that it's easier to really focus in on those little things you need to clean up.
Okay.
So you describe when I said, have you been following? You said, so I'm not following your plan. And you said, for the first time. That's why I asked, well, have you not followed it at all?
Well, pretty much, no. Not much.
Okay, that's fine.
I think on the habit tracker, I think I have like 2 days where I followed it.
Okay, so we could just say tomorrow we will follow our plan rather than for the first time.
Okay.
I mean, does it feel amazing to just self if it feels like if you're going to tell me like, oh, that feels so good, Kren, you just don't know. It's like wearing, you know, diamonds dripping.
No, it does not feel like that.
All right. If it ain't diamond dripping, we're not saying it anymore. Do you see how that?
Okay.
This is important for you.
I do. And I totally get it when I listen to you talking to other people and then I can't get it for myself.
But it's because you think you're supposed to get it right now. All I need you doing is getting aware of how often it's happening. The more you get aware of it, the more you'll be like, oh, that's one of those things that like, could I describe it as different than for the first time? Or could I just leave that part of the sentence out and just tomorrow I'll follow
building
my plan.
So it's building a new habit.
It's going to be the habit. And this is the hardest part for a lot of you of now describing your life, your PNP life and your weight loss life is boring as fuck. If your habit,
okay.
Describe it dramatically full of overwhelm.
I don't think I do.
I don't know. Go back and listen to what
I did. I sure
about.
Did hear. Okay. I don't to like my friends and family. Let's put it that way. But yes, here
but
into myself,
what
I guess
tell
I do.
Them.
Yes.
Do you know what I care about?
Okay.
The conversation
what
going
tell
on.
Myself.
Your, yeah. Because you can tell them anything you want. In fact, if that's not the way you describe it to them, I question you, why the hell would you describe it any other way to yourself then?
I don't know.
Right. So we don't need to know why. We need to know it's ridiculous to tell everybody else.
Stop doing it.
Amazing and diamonds dripping. And then, but when we talk to ourselves, like, oh no, it's like, no, it's a shit show. Like it's hard and it's like scary and all the things.
Okay.
We want to do that. It's okay. I just want you to get very aware of the optional language that you're using around
your
abilities, what you're doing, like the model. I'm just not doing it right. It's so hard. It's so like, what is the model and I'm working on it?
I also think I thought the model was like you had to do a problem every day, but it's really just anything and finding out what you're saying to yourself. I guess I didn't really understand that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of you, how many times have you listened to the No BS so far?
I haven't gotten through the whole thing yet. I'm in phase two.
Okay. So here's the deal. I ask this as a trick question. About the 10th time is when you hear little things like that. All of you, let's stop and cut yourself some slack. You've listened once and you're like, I missed it. I didn't even do the discovery worksheet. Oh my God, the stakes are high. You know I'm a perfectionist and this means everything about me. That husband who won't pay for shit. Do you see? Like, if we were just like, oh my gosh, I've listened to it twice. Yay me. I'm probably going to miss things like every human. I can't wait to see what I'll learn the third time through. If I learned this much the first round, the way the brain works, Laura, and don't fight me on this one, is it only really takes in about 20% of what it hears.
Okay.
That's, I mean.
And it seems to be the shitty stuff. So I have to work on that.
I don't care if you hear the shitty stuff. I just don't want you to believe it anymore. I just want you to now declare it as a sentence that you're working on. It's just one of those optional sentences that sometimes I say. You will catch, all of you, when you first start doing this stuff, you will catch yourself constantly saying things that you think you shouldn't. I don't want you thinking I shouldn't be saying that or I'm not getting it or whatever. I just want you to be like, of course I would still think that. It's just like I was talking the other day in a Facebook Live. It's like, oh my God, I've only beat up my thighs for 30 years.
I did hear that too.
I invest 30 years in repairing the relationship. I'm willing to give it equal time. I literally this morning was writing about my body and like my, I was writing like the story of me when it comes to my body, just for my own, like, what the hell do I think about stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it was like, as much as I work with you guys and on all this stuff, it was really apparent to me how long I have truly been thinking about these things. It allowed me to have compassion. Like, no wonder I still think these things. So I don't need to be shocked or disappointed or upset or anything over it. I'm just glad I know I think these things now so that if I want to think something different, I can. If I just want to think, you know, tomorrow, the best way for me to get my shit together is to really focus on my plan. So I will make a very realistic one. If you've noticed, you haven't been following up for all of January.
I think they're not realistic enough.
Yeah, just
because I want to get it all right.
Well, it for sure ain't going to be right if you ain't following it.
Right. No, I'm figuring that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you recommend doing a discovery worksheet for every single overeat? I mean, I feel like I might do 5 a day.
Well, that'd be 5 opportunities to learn your path. Okay. You probably would speed your weight loss up. Let me tell you what's going to happen.
Well, because I might get tired of doing them. So maybe, who knows?
That's one thing that does happen to some people. I can't tell you how many people in the tribe have not overate at times because they're like, well, I don't want to do the discovery worksheet because they're so dedicated to actually doing the discovery worksheet. Like, they just won't compromise on that part.
Yeah, I think I need to print out like 1,000 of them.
Yeah, I mean, you should have a stockpile like most of us do. Like all of us who've lost.
Yeah, I do have a pile, yeah.
But here's the thing. When you think about like, oh my God, I'd be doing like 5 a day. You would only think that was wrong if you think the overeating is wrong and there's something wrong with you. Rather than thinking, yeah, right. I do think 5 a day because 5 a day would speed my weight loss up. 5 a day would mean I would be watching patterns like a boss rather than, well, okay, I don't want to do 5 a day. So I'm just going to keep overeating and hope that shit gets better by me doing the same bullshit I keep doing.
Yeah, I definitely do that.
Yeah. Well, let's stop that.
Okay.
It's just like,
all right,
let's do this. What if we're going to do a realistic plan tomorrow? It's time to get my shit together. I also like the idea of like, if your thought is the stakes are high, to just say like, no, that's wrong. Stakes are not high. This is a process. That's it. There's no stakes unless I grill.
Okay. Alrighty.
Yeah, just cut yourself some slack, mama. I think that's your biggest homework. Watch this call. I want you to really listen to just your voice and how you're describing your life. And just say, you know, I probably could lighten up a little bit on myself and it would all be okay.
Yeah. Probably would be a good idea.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody go wrong with compassion. Just haven't.
So easy to have compassion for others, as you know. Not so easy for yourself sometimes. All right. I will watch this again and I will start doing a lot of discovery worksheets every day, I guess.
I think we all should. My coaches do them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with them. They're just illuminating some patterns for you so that you can get to work.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Bye.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay. It is, it's past time. Okay. I know a lot of you have your hand raised. Let me answer a few more of the questions and then we'll get on out of here. So I don't want to, sometimes I go long on these calls and then I get emails from people saying I can't listen to them that long. So I'm trying to do a mix of my long calls with my short stuff and my medium length. So my overeats usually happen at night on the couch watching TV after the kids have gone to bed. And my husband is either gone or downstairs. Okay, so that's a good pattern to notice. So what I would do is ask yourself, why am I wanting to overeat during this time? Like, what is it that, like, I think about? Like, and like, allow yourself to do this, guys, for a lot of you who overeat at night. Allow yourself to, some people, I think, Kathy, don't we have a pre-discovery worksheet? I'm almost sure that there's one, like, what do you do before an urge? This worksheet is this worksheet's actually in module 3. It's the pre-urge worksheet. You do not have to take the video lesson in order to be doing it. If you want, you can probably just figure out how to fill it out on your own. Guys, I'm going to tell you, whether you're modeling, you're doing these worksheets, whatever, I don't care if you do them perfect or not. Nobody will know. You get so much traction out of the process of figuring it out, of doing it and getting awareness. That's really all they're about. I could change these questions every 3 days. Every 3 days. And y'all would still get all kinds of value and stuff out of them. And it would not be the one that you used 3 days ago. It's not so much are you doing it right and that you have an amazing explanation. Most of you aren't doing things and you're confused and whatnot, all not because the worksheet is confusing. It's from that is masking the fear that this just won't work. Trust that all this will like work as long as you're applying yourself. That's it. It does not need to be done perfectly. All of you will do all of this differently. I promise you. So that worksheet for overeaters at night, anytime that you have like a repeated pattern, like I notice this is the time that I overeat, that pre-urge worksheet is really good for that, for you to kind of understand what's going on for you. Okay. Let's see. I want to watch my trashy TV, but don't want to eat. What can I do to change my actions of overeating? Just don't eat, Abby. You're going to want to eat, but it's going to be really important for you to start talking to yourself like early in the day. Like, I'm going to watch trashy TV tonight. The plan is not to eat. I know that I'm naturally going to want to. The desire will be there. Of course, the desire will be there. I have been doing that. Allowing yourself to be like, okay, this is where I'm at in the process, and that's just fine. One of the things that you want to do is you want to make sure that you have a very detailed plan so that at night, I've never really told anybody to do this, but what I would do is I'd make a very detailed plan about how it's going to go down. Like, I'm going to close the kitchen. I am going to brush my teeth. I'm going to sit on a different place on my couch. I'm going to watch this show. Allow your conscious brain to make a detailed plan and then go to following it. The problem with most of us when we're eating at night and stuff, guys, is you're not using enough of your conscious brain through the evening because your habit brain is the one that's been running. So what's going to happen is when you're breaking your overeating patterns, your habit brain is naturally going to want to engage. It's supposed to. Otherwise, your brain is not working. You're probably dead. So understanding that that's part of the process is everything. So like for those of you who are trying to like, as you're doing like your discovery worksheets and you notice your patterns, you notice the things, coming up with a very detailed plan of something that you're going to break, like, this is exactly what I'm going to do. It's not enough to just say, like, tonight's the night, I'm going to watch TV and not eat. Your habit brain is going to come roaring in, and your conscious brain will not have enough meat to know what it's supposed to do. So you'll have all of that desire, all of that habit brain coming in at you while you're trying to engage your conscious brain figure out what to do. And usually what it does is it just starts freaking out. And it's also at the end of the day, so it's tired. It doesn't want to make any more decisions. So make all those decisions ahead of time. Make them early in the morning. One of the other things that you guys can do is when that desire comes in, when all of that, like the urge to eat, the craving, whatever it is, right? Whenever that engages, what you can do is you can set like a 10-minute, like, I'm going to process this. Like, I may eat, I may not eat, whatever, but what's going to happen is tonight's different because I'm actually going to process it. So I've got some notes here. I'm actually working on a podcast around this, so I'm going to go ahead and give it to all of you guys ahead of time, just so you know. You're going to take 10 minutes. And during that 10 minutes, your job literally is to breathe through it and listen for the thoughts that you have. It will have a lot. They will come in fast. They will probably generate some feelings, but as long as you keep thinking to yourself, and I know I'm thinking I really want it, and I know I'm thinking this is bullshit to be doing this, and I know I'm thinking, like, listen for what's coming in and continue to breathe. Like, legit, I don't have my phone with me. Set a timer for this. The most important part of that process is we do not argue. You have to remember during the 10 minutes, the entire time, the most important part is the breathing and the telling of yourself. And these are things that I think when I'm wanting to eat. These are the things I think when I'm having an urge. Like, remember when I was talking to all the other girls about like taking the temperature down with the optional language? Arguing is optional language. We don't want that. We want to know the thoughts that normally come in, but we don't want to argue with them. That's the optional. And you do that for 10 minutes. A lot of the times the urges will pass at this point. They will go away. And if they don't, decide consciously. Don't just say, well, I'm just going to eat because I did this, or thank God that's over with. Now I'm going to eat. Like, don't do it that way. Stay patient and calm and say, you know what? If I'm going to eat, I'm going to do it on purpose. This is a decision that I'm making. It is not going to be rushed and it is not going to be hurried. I am breaking every pattern that I possibly can around food. And then you go get it. And if you're like my girl that's sitting on the couch watching trashy TV, Abby, say, and I will not watch it in front of the TV. The trashy TV will be there. I will push pause and I will eat in silence. Take the fun out. Just make it about the food. The food is never that much fun. It's not as much fun when it doesn't have fuck it going on. All of your trashy TV, your comfortable environment, when we are literally just eating on purpose and very intentionally and savoring every bite, it's not as much fun. And guys, yes, this is work. This is the real work of losing weight. This is what the diet industry is not teaching you. We have to switch from white knuckling, forcing ourselves into losing weight, and depriving ourselves and doing all that, and do the real work of being very conscious of how we eat and think, making the decisions because it's the best decisions for us, learning not how to not beat ourselves up anymore, dropping judgment, dropping optional conversation so that we can make some space for going out in the fucking world and doing something that we want to do rather than working on our weight for the rest of our lives. There's just more to do in life. All right. Y'all, that's it. Have a good, oh, there's one other thing. There is an urge meditation on the website. So for those of you who are new, if you go to pnptribe.com, go to the bonuses where it says, I think it's worksheets and bonus resources, something. It's something about the worksheets and the bonuses or courses, right? Scroll to the bottom where all the worksheets and extra things are. There's an urge meditation there that I did. It's about 10 minutes long for a reason. You could listen to it every time you have an urge. Okay. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you soon. Bye, y'all.